Your voice, your station.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We've switched studios now for our next debate ahead of the local elections on May 24th, just over 11 days away it is now indeed. And we are focusing today on the Glenties Municipal District. And we're going to introduce our candidates, I suppose, one by one, or our guests, sorry, one by one, and give them an opportunity to outline in a minute or so why they believe you should vote for them. We'll start sort of clockwise, if that's okay. Noreen McGarvey of Fianna Fáil. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Right. So why should people give their vote to you?
Well, first of all, I mean, we all know that the homelessness and the lack of housing is probably one of the biggest crises in our country at the moment. If elected, I will be strongly lobbying for an increase in funding for the social and affordable housing in the Glenties electoral area. At the moment, we have something like 234 applications on the waiting list. I will be also asking for a review and an increase to the threshold limits for eligibility for the social housing. Now, in saying that, I was delighted to learn that the council have now procured two new sites, one in Guidoor and one in Dunloe, for social housing projects, which hopefully will commence within a number of months. A vote for Noreen McGarvey is a vote for a strong community candidate with a proven track record. I've been working in the political office for the last 10 years, so I do have a wide knowledge of various issues that are bothering people out there on the doors. I'm confident that I'll be able to advise them and hopefully help them to resolve some of these issues. And again, I want to be part of a strong Donegal team that will put this county back on the map.
OK, thank you very much. Liam Mulligan of Aintu.
Morning, Greg.
Morning.
Well, the position really is that most people like myself have lost trust in the main political parties. This is a common, not just in Donegal, not just in Ireland, but throughout Europe and the West. And we need to change how we do politics. And that this reflects in a lot of these issues that we have here. These are issues, whether it's housing, whether it's water, whether it's the roads, these are issues that have been around for years and they're just not concentrating on them because they do not bring votes when they need maintenance. They only bring votes if there's something new, if there's some new big departure. I come from a background of working with an international company in infrastructure and industry, and I believe that that experience brought into the council can help Donegal to solve its core problems and to start improving the employment position in Donegal and the improvement of services in Donegal.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll tease some of those issues out, I'm sure, as we wear on here. Councillor Kierlock, Seamus O'Donnell.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning to yourself and good morning to your listeners, indeed, in Donegal. I'm delighted to be here this morning. And why I would be asking people to vote for me is because I am a councillor since 2009, have worked so in a full-time capacity for the needs and aspirations of the people that I represent in the Glenties Municipal District. I am deeply knitted into the community of West Donegal, have two young kids, work on a full-time basis, as I've said. And what I am about is working for the needs of the people on a one-to-one basis, but also working and energising and giving leadership to communities and ensuring that delivery is given to projects that are of significant nature, both from a tourism point of view, both from an infrastructure point of view and an innovation point of view in West Donegal. I believe that I have done a very good job at that, and I want to continue to represent people in a strong, capable, determined and indeed experienced way now that I believe that I can give them. So I will be asking people to do their bit for me and to give me a number one vote if they are happy with what I am doing, and I will continue to deliver on a full-time basis upon the needs of my area.
Councillor Mary-Therese Gallagher, good morning.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to all your listeners, and thanks for having us here today. This is a very important election. It's about the future of this county, but I suppose for us it's about the future of West Donegal. We know the issues. I have been elected now for 12 years. I know I work with local communities across the whole constituency of West Donegal, and we have delivered some very important projects over the last 5 years. I want to continue to deliver, but one of the biggest, where I will be putting my energy into over the next 5 years, if re-elected by the people, is in youth retention and to tackle the problem that we're having in depopulation in the west of the county. I've been successful in having motions passed to get a task force set up for the west of the county, which would be a multi-agency task force, which looks at how we actually have sustainable communities, how we actually deliver for the people, and how we care for not just our young, but our elderly as well.
Okay, Liam White, Independent. Good morning.
Good morning to all the listeners. I'm Liam White, an independent candidate from Ardragh. I've been politically active and active in the community for about 7-8 years now. And I believe the south of the municipal districts needs good, strong representation, and I give the best chance of retaining the seat in that area. I know I've been working with people on the ground for the past 4 years in political office, so I know the issues that people are facing on a daily basis. Like that, I see most of my friends, most of the young people leaving to get jobs, to further education. So I believe that youth retention also is is very important in coming up issue in this election. So on the 24th of May, I'm asking people to give Liam White number one vote.
And Michael McClafferty of Fine Gael, finally. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. I've been involved heavily in local issues in the recent years now, in local politics as well. I suppose really all in 20 years, community activist, all in. I would be asking people, if they can, to give me their number one vote or their highest preference on the 24th of May, because I believe I'm well positioned in the Glenties electoral area, between Creasley there on to the Fulcarra, Dunfanny, on through to Goodhawk. We have no political representation in that area at the moment, and I feel with that happening, we're getting passed by as such, because there's nobody there. Obviously out and about these days canvassing, realising as well how many empty houses are out there. Both families have left, young families, some cases some people are away abroad working through no fault of their own, and it's just really rural Ireland is just really getting hammered. So I would just want to try and make a change locally. We have made changes there, such as fighting for things at the health centre in Dunfanaghy, the hall in Fulcarra, through Minister Joe McHugh's office. But I believe at the minute, rural Ireland, in particular the towns I've mentioned, they're all along the N56, along the coast, if you like. We're just getting drained. Our young people are going off far shores, and we need to get things turned around.
Okay, Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher, you heard from both Michael and Liam there saying that, you know, I think Liam hinted at it, Michael certainly said it, that their areas, you know, perhaps don't have the representation that they perhaps should have. It's not a great indictment of sitting councillors, is it, that areas feel they don't have a local councillor? Is politics too local sometimes?
You could say that, Greg, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. For me personally, I have, as I say, I'm there 12 years. I have represented all of the area in the first 5 years. I have been more concentrated from Crawley to Ardragh in the last 5 years. And we're on a third candidate this time. So I'd be hopeful that I would be focusing over the next 5 years on the Rosses area. But within that, every local elected representative and everybody around this table works within their own communities to deliver. We have delivered, and a lot of the projects that have been outlined, whether it was through government funding and, you know, big announcements, really and truly, the only reason these projects are ever delivered is because of the local volunteers on the ground, and they come together. They're the people who demand, and it's our job to actually deliver for them. And that's what we have been doing, and I want to continue to do that.
Do the people of Ardragh feel, Liam and surrounds, that the councillors have been delivering for them?
Well, to a certain degree, yes, and to a certain degree, no. Now, it's not all about the councillors and who's it in. I think it's about the system, about the lack of funds is available for these areas. So I wouldn't be too down on councillors or sitting councillors at the minute, but we do need more investment in the area. Rural Ireland is dying, and dying big time. And all the small towns along the west coast, you can see massive depopulation, you can see businesses closes. You can see, like, if you go through Ardragh and Glenties, you'll see plenty of businesses
what
there.
What role
closed.
Does the council have in addressing that?
Obviously most of the issues we face are national problems, but the council can work to develop better infrastructure and give people better opportunities to grow business and grow Indigenous industry.
Liam, you talked of frustration with the status quo, in inverted commas. Is Aintu not really just the status quo, but just with a different name? It's the same thing, isn't it? What's different with your party?
Well, I think the issue here is that we have identified areas where the status quo simply isn't doing. The Last week in the UK, a survey was presented that said politicians were the second least trusted profession in the country, and the least trusted were advertising executives. And the logic here is that politicians have become advertising executives because, partly for reasons out of their control, but also because they have taken warnings from people like Kahneman, from films like The Candidate 50 years ago, and they've made them prescriptions of how they operate to gain votes. It's a shallow approach where we have to go back and go and dig deep and sort out our problems by digging deep. We have, for instance, the case of the water loss in Falkara last week. The immediate issue is we have a water loss and people are in great difficulty and they are need Irish Water to respond a lot faster and with a lot better communications to their customers on something like this. But these pipes should never have broken. As I think I said to you already, a city engineer in Dublin said in a public forum, you look at the roads, you feel the roads, and you see how little money we get to maintain them. You don't see the pipes, and you can imagine how much less. And this comes to the issue, cutting ribbons, announcing big projects, whether it's the Bunnygee bypass or road improvements, or getting Irish Water to get off its behind and sort out the problem in Falkara, is beloved of politicians. But putting the money in so that Falkara doesn't happen, and it's not.
Yeah,
just
that's above Donegal County Council. I mean, no,
it's actually down because the council does not concentrate on these issues. The council had responsibility up until a few years ago. These pipes should have been changed under the council.
Mm.
But council politicians operate in the same way as the national politicians.
But that is a frustration, I think, Seamus O'Donnell, people have with politics in that, you know, surely the issue with water in Falkara is something that councillors and the council should be able to address. Yet we're seeing businesses being forced to close. Ironically, Irish Water effectively saying the solution to this problem is the Donegal County Council needs to get its finger out at night. I mean, it's very frustrating for people affected by this.
Well, the situation in Falkara is one that I suppose I lobbied for a large number of years, that the drinking water quality in Falkara and Garda Hauraque was not to a standard that I was happy with, nor were the customers at the end of the line. We secured 3.9 million by way of investment for water treatment plant to ensure that water was of high quality. At that time, I would have spoken to Irish Water and advised them or asked them, was that going to cause problems with the network? They assured me that it wasn't. They were wrong. It has caused problems with the network. So what was actually needed was a bit of capital investment to ensure that the pipe network was kept up to the same high standard that the quality of water was going to be. They didn't do that.
Did council not drop the ball, as you heard from Liam there, that this should have been done when the council had responsibility
I do firmly believe that if it was the council that were replacing the water treatment plant, that they would have replaced the pipe. There are pipes in various places in Garda Hauraque and Falkara that need to be replaced. I have raised that with Irish Water. They are now coming to the table in agreement. They are currently surveying various tracts of pipe to see how it can be replaced, where it can be replaced, and when it can be replaced. And I will have news on that later this week. But if I can go back to points that were made by earlier speakers in regards to rural decline, the depopulation of the west of the county, that is correct. The west of the county is suffering and Donegal is suffering. You can't blame the council for that. What the problem that is with that is that we have a Dublin-centric, city-based government that seem only interested, as Liam has rightly pointed out, in spin and in ribbon cutting. We see this week where they have announced where they have signed a blank check for the provision of broadband. And everybody in this room and every other room across Donegal will say we do need broadband. But we don't need broadband that we don't know what's going to be delivered or where it's going to be delivered.
But the elephant in the room, though, is the fact that if you have criticisms of government, your party has a very strong hand in it, in that you can stop supporting the government and let people, if they're discontent, choose something else.
And so we can. That's a point that you make over and over again.
But it has,
and
because indeed, it's the point that indeed, people listening, they're indeed, going, well, what's he on about? It's his party that's keeping this government in power. So it's not a hobby horse of mine. But I know people are texting and calling it in as
well. But we have government representatives, the representatives of the party in the room. You're not asking them why they're implementing policies that are anti-rural, that are anti-Donegal, why they're not investing in Donegal, why they're announcing things two and three times and there's nothing being delivered.
Well, let me tell you.
But let me answer the question that you asked me. We have a situation in the six counties where there has been no government for an unprecedented, a world record-breaking amount of time. That's not something that we in this island should be proud of. Were Fianna Fáil, for example, not to support that a government be formed, Fianna Fáil, the leader of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, went up for a vote twice. It was decided by the members of the Dáil that he shouldn't be the leader, and that is the democratic right. Mm. So Fianna Fáil were left in a position that they either go to the people again for another general election, which would have probably not thrown up much of a different numbers by way of political representation from parties. But they decided in the interest of the people and in the interest of the country that they would support a minority government. Not support it,
and
but allow it to function.
And do you support that, honestly? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you like the way things are at the
I
moment?
I am on record with you previously, Greg, and I have told you that it's not something that right. I am particularly happy with.
Michael,
to the same degree, we have a situation fastly coming down the tracks with Brexit. We see the turmoil that is in Britain. We see the turmoil that is in the North currently with no Stormont Assembly. Would we be happy with that? I don't think we would.
Okay, Michael so McCafferty, I mean, how can you, you know, I mean, effectively, not putting words in anyone's mouth, but I mean, you know, do you find that if you're trying to defend Fine Gael and its commitment and investment in Donegal that you feel you're trying to defend the indefensible?
Well, to be fair, Greg, I'm not trying to defend anybody. When I'm going around the doors, I'm speaking to the people as a person from the area.
Yeah, but I can see Fine Gael's written right there on top of your
oh, it is, yes. Yes, I've been selected to run for them, yes. But we need to acknowledge as well whether, look, I'm certainly a Daisy Cairns officer from Yale, but Dublin's up there, we're down here in Donegal.
No, you see, people aren't going to take this riding two horses, a local and a national
but it's not, how long, Greg? It's not riding two horses. Okay. When you're going round door to door, as we all are here around the table, we're getting different issues. We can only address the issue and possibly answer it if possible, and if we can't answer it, we will try and come back.
Well, let me ask you a question directly then. Are you happy with your government's, your party's performance, investment and commitment to Donegal?
I am, yes. Okay. Because it's the only party so far in my lifetime that's brought so many millions into Donegal, particularly Joe McHugh. And I do believe if Fianna Fáil gets the keys to the bus again, they'll put it over the cliff. We were put into recession here in 08. Who caused it? Between Fianna Fáil and the banks because of reckless lending and everything else. So, I mean, Fine Gael have brought it back. Fine Gael brought it back before out of recession in the 80s.
Okay, Nori McGarvey of Fianna Fáil. We have Michael saying that effectively Fine Gael have fixed the problems created by your party.
Well, that's great to know. But, I mean, any map that's ever drawn up or put into the public preface for rail services, cancer services, the line doesn't come past Sligo. So unless there's a different map out there that shows all the benefits for Donegal, we haven't seen it. I mean, we hear it all the time on the doors, if it's only for, again, to go back to the hospital services and all that. I know, I think back in November time, we were promised the opening of 20 beds in Letterkenny Hospital to alleviate some of the problems. It was then reduced to 10 beds. We still haven't, that I know of, seen those beds being opened. They're currently under pressure all the time in Letterkenny Hospital. They can't recruit staff then, and the staff are there under severe pressure and everything else, and that's not just in our health service. Again, as Seamus alluded to the broadband, they're telling us now that something like 74% of premises all over Ireland have access to high-speed broadband.
Mm. So would you be in favour of your party using whatever influence it might have to actually not go ahead with this $3 billion spend on rural broadband? Would you be in favour of pulling the pin on that contract before it's signed?
Well, again, Greg, it's a case of, I mean... they're now shouting about that and I think they called it something like it's the rural broadband. It's the same rural place that 3 months ago they tore apart when they took away our post office. Mm.
But would you in fairness, Fianna Fáil, I think, have closed more post offices than Fine Gael, but would you be in favour of pulling the plug on this $3 billion spend on rural broadband, or do you think it should go ahead?
Well, I think we have to get broadband services into rural places, especially in Donegal. Obviously, we'll have to look at the costings of it. I mean, I know it's up at $3 billion, and the people that have tendered for it, it's a small portion of what they're prepared to put into it.
$200 million.
Yeah, and again, I think it's over 25 years is the term of
Does
the,
anyone
the
think that that's a good deal? Liam, would you?
No, absolutely not.
Liam White?
I think it's a terrible deal. I think this government is pursuing ahead with this agenda of neoliberalisation and privatisation. Now, I would have much preferred if one of the state bodies, something like the ESB, would have carried out this and left it in the hands of the state, but I think this is an absolutely desperate deal.
Would you pull the deal?
Would I pull the deal?
Because look, what you'd be telling the tens of thousands of people in Donegal that whatever hope you have of having high-speed broadband in the next 7 years,
I don't think anyone doesn't want broadband to come on. There's a vast need for broadband throughout the whole of rural Ireland. Everybody's happy that there's going to be broadband in rural areas, but the deal they done not only is expensive, we're handing away our broadband infrastructure to the company that's going to do it, which seems to be the government's baby. That's what they're happy with, privatisation.
Mary Therese Gallagher, your party wants the ESB to. Yeah, provide this service, or be commissioned to do so.
Commissioned to put in the service. And I think that what Fine Gael have done over the last 2 weeks is they've put every one of us in a terrible position, because everybody knows the need for rural broadband. Everybody knows the need, you know, it's as important as what electrification was back in the day. However, the process of how it's been done and rolled out, and nobody actually, you know, it's the people's money who's
going to. Where do you think the blame lies?
I think the blame lies with trying to come up with a solution. I think that at a national level, privatisation of all of these services has always been on the agenda. Does it lie in, oh God, like you could go on about rural broadband forever. Should it have been delivered at this stage? Yes, it should have been. Even the contracts that were put in before, you know, rural broadband has came to maybe 6 houses on a lane and didn't do the last 2 houses. Mm-hmm. You know, it was wrong, and that could have been solved. That was the time.
Liam Mulligan, who do you blame? Do you think the three billion should be spent now? Look, we see 5, 6, 7 billion being put into the holes in Grand in Dublin. Yeah. All right, maybe it's not value for money, but maybe we actually just need broadband and we should swallow the pill.
This is the problem we have. We've been trapped. The Children's Hospital is a case. We go into process, and a lot of it is to do with, I've been involved in large PPP, and I hate the process. I think it's awful process. There is inappropriate risk transfer, inappropriate risk for the state in some cases, when it gets down to an unfair, when it's, they've only one bidder. I mean, they try to transfer too much risk to the private sector. The private sector prices that risk and it goes through the roof, whereas they could control it themselves. I don't necessarily think the ESB has positive sides to it. I've worked very closely with the ESB people over my career, very good people, but I don't know if this is really where.
So what's your solution?
I don't have a solution because I don't have the details. Why is the broadband so quick? Why can't we phase it? Why can't we do it? Does the broadband include a 30,000 subsidy for connecting broadband to every holiday home in Donegal? Inish Boffin has 64 registered voters, not one voted in the referendum. Do we pay 30,000 a house to connect fibre to Inish Boffin? Because we know nobody is permanently resident there. We don't have the details. What we have is a process like the National Children's Hospital that has gone down a rabbit hole.
Seamus O'Donnell?
Yeah, well, my regard to this is, look, this is election year in its most primitive guise. What has happened here is that the government have signed a blank check. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where it will be rolled out. They don't have a plan. What they have done is use this as an electioneering stunt and spin to say to people this will be delivered. This is about the fourth time that they've said it will be delivered. I would agree with previous speakers. We have a public utilities company in ESB. They rolled out electrification of this country in the 60s, done it quite well. They may not have the specific expertise, but they will be in a position to acquire that expertise. And the big thing about it is that we as a people will hold the rights to the network that will be put in. In the current way that it is, the government are giving 3 billion euros to a company and they will own the network, they will own the rights to it, and they can dictate what the price is. At least if it's with the ESB, there can be regulation on it.
They can't fix the price of the broadband.
But we don't know what's in the contract, because they won't complete and tell us.
But that part of it was revealed, wasn't it? That it would be open to Sky, to Virgin, to everything.
To come in, and that there will be some regulation. But again, the detail of the regulation that will be in place is extremely, extremely light. And if I can go back again to another point that was made earlier, that, you know, Michael said that he was happy with the representation that is coming from central government. I mean, if we're sitting in a room here in Letterkenny or anywhere in Donegal, and we're saying that we're happy with the government closing our post offices, and okay, you're saying that Fianna Fáil have closed post offices, and we have, and I'll hold my hands up and say that, but we haven't closed the only post office in the only community. We look at places like Dunfanaghy.
How do you stand up
that is
that,
bustling
Michael?
Post office closed. We look at places like Garda Hawk that has a population of over 2,500 people, post office closed. Previous to that, Meenlara in the same parish, Bunbeg is closed. Schools are under pressure. There's no jobs for young people. Guard stations are closing. Guards are becoming less prevalent in our places. Carers cannot be got.
Okay, Michael, how do you defend that?
We can't say that's good
because
for
it was pointed directly at you. I mean, you know, on post, they spent $5 million tidying up their livery on all their goods and whatever. They're a profit making company. Their profits are increasing year on year, and it's got nothing to do with post office closures. How can you stand over that decision? I mean, do you think it's a good idea to close rural post offices? And what have you done to make representations to the government if you oppose them?
I don't think it's a good idea to close rural post offices. I think as well, no harm to you, Seamus, but it would suit you better as well to reply to people when they're replying to you about stuff, returning phone calls, emails, etc., when you talk about representation, because that's what we're hearing on the doors. That's why so many of us, there's 13 running now in the Glenties and Lethal area. And not singling you out, Seamus, to be fair. This is happening.
With respect, I mean, he has singled me out. I mean, I'm a full-time councillor. Work on a full-time basis.
But what are you suggesting?
Have a large team.
Then,
I mean, that's
clear,
a bit unfair.
That he's not responding
that's
to...
That's a little unfair, Greg, now.
It's not unfair, Seamus, it's what's happening.
But who, you're saying that because some people
there,
told you that.
Seamus saying there about representation. This is what we're hearing on the doors. We're going round the doors.
So, but just to be very clear, you're hearing on the doors that sitting councillors aren't answering phone
yes.
calls? Or emails?
Yes. That's what's happening. That's why you're ending up with such a big crowd now running. Like, we're all running in our own respective and our own areas for the best of the community. But this is what's happening. So when they talk about communication, it's all very well for all of us around here sitting around the table to sit and criticise this and criticise that about the government, so on, broadband, so on. If Fianna Fáil's not happy with it, if Sinn Féin's not happy, pull the plugs. Pull the plugs. Like, if they really want to make a difference, if they're not happy, pull the plug and they'll go to the people again and see what happens. I mean, because Fianna Fáil are propping up the government in partnership with it, sorry. But I mean, it seems to give this long-term argument of things, you know.
Liam?
Just pull the plug.
What's the question again, sir?
But in terms of you, the post office closures, that type of stuff, you've already highlighted that yourself, but in terms of the spend on the broadband, I mean, would you go with what Michael's saying there? If the likes of the Fianna Fáil aren't happy, don't sit and criticise them, pull the plug.
Well, I don't see a big difference in policy between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. For this last 30 years, I haven't seen any difference. I think one or the other, it's no real odds to us which of them's in they're going to carry on.
Is that fair, Noreen? That Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil really are the same?
Not really, because I know obviously Fianna Fáil are in their support in the government at the moment, but I mean, like, for the years of Fianna Fáil were in government as well, I mean, they've done a hell of a lot for the country and particularly for Donegal itself. And again, as I say, through the councillors that we've had for Fianna Fáil down through the years, that they've done quite a lot for the local areas, and that's what it's about now these days. I mean, it's our local area that we have to get it right at local level, regardless of who's doing it. We have to work together to get our county back on the map again, as I said earlier, to get the things that we need in the area.
Do you, though, Liam, see that as part of the problem, Liam Mulligan of Aintu, that, you know, I mean, obviously it's great if everyone works together on a local level, but do you think that that's too cosy and that perhaps that status quo needs to be shook up a bit?
There is a truth in the sameness of the parties. I mean, Seamus talks about Fine Gael doing multiple announcements. I was involved in the Dublin Metro, and there was a market announcement for the launch of the Dublin Metro 2 months before the 2002 election, and nothing happened. And there was a market launch for the Dublin Metro 2 months before the 2007 election again. So this is how they operate. So there is that level that the parties are very much looking at the big announcements, at the publicity, and they're not working at the bottom level. The post offices is a very serious issue, I think, and shops in small villages and towns on the main streets. We have to step back and say the post office is not, in a small village, in a rural area, is not a business. And we have to find a way to support them outside just the post office counter's business. That it's needed there, it's wanted there, and we have to find a way to support them. Mm. It means a subsidy. There's no question
but
about
Mar-
that.
But Mary-Therese Gallagher, surely this is the function of council, though. The, you know, it's the closest to the people that, you know, rather than motions being put down or whatever, that there should be some mechanism, surely, that the council could say, look, these are the people we represent. This is what this area needs. We're not looking for any special treatment. That the council has more influence and more power in that regard. I mean, we're seeing power slipping, but surely that it would be a better functioning operation if they actually had that influence to address the issues that have been addressed around this table.
Yeah, and like, you know, and I'm sure, Greg, you've been in the council chamber for years covering council meetings, and at every meeting, the lack of or the centralisation of power and that, you know, so what we need to do is we need to decentralisation of power into local government. I think that we need to do that within the health service as well, because the health service needs to change. I think we need to do it within the post office service. It's a very different thing, and I agree completely with Liam, completely different. A post office was the life and soul of a community. And I think only one we were successful, and that was 5 years ago, in retaining the Letchermack Award post office. There was a decision made, and the criteria that was laid down to keep these post offices open, it wasn't possible to get to.
Okay, Liam.
You know, so we do need to, and it is very, very important to have strong local representation, but also to keep fighting to have that decentralisation of where decisions are actually made and make the decisions as close to the people on the ground as possible.
Liam, is there a sense in our draw at all? I've heard it. I'm just asking if you've heard it or it's the same, that sort of our draw is almost caught between two stools, and that it's, you know, if the Glenties Municipal District is on the hind leg, that it's on the hind leg of the district itself. Is that what you hear from people there?
Well, you hear that regularly, you know, that they talk about south of the Gibara, where our draw Glenties are way at the end of the constituency, and they're not really part of the decision making when it comes to local service, local thing. But back to that other point, what other speakers are saying, post offices were a service, were a good public service, and the more we continue with privatisation, the more and more we're going to see these services taken away from us when posts become a profit making company. And it was quite viable as a state asset when it became a profit making company. We see them closing more and more post offices, and these services will continue to decline while we carry on with this privatisation agenda.
Noreen, does rural Ireland have any future, do you think? If you look at sort of the national development plan and the county development plan being married with that, and, you know, I mean, I think if the truth is, if people really would prefer, if we didn't spend $3 billion for broadband, because really we shouldn't be living in rural Ireland at all, we should all move to towns and cities. Do you
think
rural Ireland has a future?
Absolutely, and it's up to us now to fight for that. Like, there are other issues then, even like the likes of your planning issues and all that, where they actually are trying to urbanise rural Ireland, if you like. They would rather see people moving in closer to towns where the services and everything are already there. So it makes it more difficult for the family that's returning home that wants to come back to rural Ireland to set up, that they can't get. There's restrictive on planning, and they can't get their planning at their own family homes, stuff like that. But we need the services there to keep rural Ireland alive. And again, but it all comes down to money at the end of the day. And we have to continue to fight for increased budgets for all of these services.
So you think people should be entitled to build a house, a one-off house, on their own land, and then expect the state to deliver all the services to wherever they choose to live, even though it could be, you know, 20 kilometres from a town?
But again, I mean, it's a choice of the people. But obviously, I mean, if they want to come and live in rural Ireland, I mean, why should we have to tell people that they have to live in a big town when they don't want to live in a big town? A lot of young families coming home are maybe moving from cities in the UK, and they want their children to experience what they had growing up in rural Ireland. And we all hear it. I mean, there's no place nicer than what we have here in Donegal.
Okay.
Do you
want to come in on that, Seamus?
Yeah, look, I know that we've been somewhat negative, but I passionately believe that there's nowhere else on this planet that is better to live and to raise a family than Donegal. And I passionately believe that. And what our job as councillors is, irrespective of what political colour or none that we have, is that we have to make it as good as it possibly can be. And we have to strive to deliver services for Donegal. I mean, the assets that we have in our county are things that other counties would be, you know, literally killing to get. From a tourism point of view, we have excelled in the last number of years. We have brought more tourists and more spending to our county. We need to up that, and the council of all parties have decided to increase the budget in that this year. We do need services, and we do need services so that people can retain. But in respect of planning permissions, it's important that the youth that are from our county, and you say should people be allowed to build wherever they want, people who were born and reared in a specific area should be permitted to build a house in that area.
But should they be? Can they expect then to get every single service that
they should expect to be in a position to get reasonable services?
Okay.
We hear other people saying that broadband could be delivered through wires. Other people saying that it could be done remotely. I'm not that tech savvy in regards to that, but what I do know is that people need broadband. That is a service. ESB goes everywhere, so there's no reason why broadband can't. And we need to, as a council, assist government and whoever else to bring that to us. But equally, what I have championed in the last number of years is to try to get young people, like other parties and like other politicians, to stay in our county, deliver jobs for them. And also what I have particularly championed is reducing the development charges for persons building their own house on their own lands and their own areas to make it easier for them, because nobody else
is. How important is that to you, Michael McClafferty?
Very important, Greg. Very important. I believe at the moment the planning laws are way, way too strict here. Way too strict. Local people can't get building. As well as they can't get building, they don't do the services then. Like you touched on there earlier on about the water in Fulcaire. There's no water pretty much in Fulcaire at the moment. I was out on the higher above Fulcaire last night, they didn't have water because the pressure's not there. Mm. It's the same in Dunfanaghy. The situation is there's so many houses and everything now at the minute, the supply is not there.
Was that not a result of bad planning in the first place?
Well, it probably is. But that's down to the planners and so on that were doing it. Like none
you're nodding your head, Liam. I mean, Michael wants planning liberalised, it seems, but surely it's a liberal planning.
Planning for families is one thing.
Mm.
But the abuse of the planning system over the last 40 and 50 years in Donegal has been massive. We have massive. I sat down in a meeting in Dublin, in a seminar in Dublin, beside a lady, and she introduced herself as a planner. I said, I think I come from the worst planned town in Ireland. Where do you come from? Letterkenny. You do. The towns are not planned. We have houses for holidaymakers, houses for incomers all over the place. And this is throughout Ireland. This is from the way the political parties have operated for the last 40 or 50 years. And there is a reaction to that because the services can't be supplied to all of those houses. But we have overreacted in disadvantaging families building for themselves. And the law has to be adjusted so that families can build for themselves, but it has to be very strict. Okay. That this is not a Jackie Healy Ray. I build a house for myself and 6 months later I sell it to a holidaymaker.
Well, on it's kind of connected to that. A lot of people messaging in. I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't read the article, but I think it related to you, Councillor O'Donnell, and that was should councillors be able to benefit directly or indirectly from the LIS, the Local Improvement Scheme? As I say, hands up, I didn't read the article. I believe you were the focus of it. Does anyone, well, I'll ask you firstly, I mean, did you benefit from the LIS scheme and do you think that's fair?
Well, look, where I live in Gardahark, it's on a non-county road. An application was made for the road. It was adjudged by engineers, not by me, not by any other politician in the council. And there is indeed a councillor here who can verify that. To be in a state that required repair. It was prioritised then fairly high up on the list and it was funded. Now, on the first tranche of money that came to the county, I had asked that it be bypassed for the simple reason I had declared that I had a benefit. I had not made any representations to it and it was repaired as a result of the state that it was in. So irrespective, it had nothing to do with me. It was engineers that had done it. And the article is... I mean, it's election fever. Somebody has written the article. Somebody has penned an article to, suppose, get at me or to affect me in a negative light. The LIS was done. Everybody knows that. I had declared that it wasn't me that had applied for it. Mm. And it was done. It
has
was
anyone else around the table benefited directly or indirectly from an LIS scheme? No? Okay. That's just to make sure it's fair in case, because it's random enough. Does anyone want to comment on that? I mean, should local representatives be able to benefit either directly or indirectly from LIS schemes?
I think that if...
Councillor Marie-Thérèse Gallagher?
No matter what scheme is available to anybody in the whole country... any citizen of Ireland should be able to apply
That's
do you agree, Liam? If it's fair, and if it's judged fair, now I probably would be a bit embarrassed if it was my lane was done now, to be honest with you.
Why?
Because it looks bad. Now, I'm not saying that anything was done wrong. I don't know the ins and outs of the case, but it looks really bad, like, you know.
Well, nothing was done wrong. I mean, we know that, but it's just that's not really the question, whether something was wrong was done, because we know nothing wrong was done, but you'd just be embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed if it was me, yeah.
What about you, Michael McCrafferty? You're happy enough? Nothing to come in on that? What about you, Noreen?
Nothing to come in. I mean, it's through the proper channels here.
No, again, it's the same. I mean, as Marie-Therese had said, I mean, we're all citizens of Ireland and we're entitled to make the application if you're lucky.
And Liam, finally, just offer you the same
right. No, I mean, every citizen has a right to have work done that's necessarily done through the proper processes. So I cannot criticise that if there'd be no improper influence. The influence is stated out there. It's an interest which Seamus says he has done. Just on the LAS,
it's a pitiful amount of funding goes for the LAS, and I think everyone will agree. I don't know what was the point of bringing in the scheme if you're going to do one or two roads.
But I mean, they hear reports of roads being tarred twice. I don't know if that's true, but I
do think, and I would agree with Liam, there is a small amount of money, but to be fair, and we have to be fair in this debate as well, at least the scheme was reintroduced, and it's important that has been reintroduced, and when money possibly becomes more plentiful, the LAS allocations will become real plentiful. So it's an important scheme, absolutely necessary for rural dwellers, because not everybody lives in a county road. We have a difficulty within the council in adopting roads to be county roads. We are working hard to try and redress that.
Where would be the key, one of the key areas? Aaron Moore obviously comes up often, but I presume there's other areas as well. You're not ignoring, I mean,
absolutely.
That is one road that there was a stretch, let's call it a half a kilometre, you know, half of it was resurfaced. There was another section which it was difficult to get an access to, and I'm told that they spent the rest of the money on the surface that they could get out again.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the canvas off the island there last week, and again, I didn't on this particular trip go up to the lighthouse, but in recent times I attempted to get up to the lighthouse, and I mean, I can't even call them holes in the road at this stage. They were just craters, like, so I mean, definitely, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, we have to look after our islands better.
Were you indicating to come in on that finally before the break, Michael?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, overall, could either Seamus or Marie-Therese both see us, how many roads do you expect to get done this year? What's the budget for this year for the LASs?
Well, for instance, in the area from the overseer area from Garda Hark through to Creasla, one road will be done this year. The allocation that came is in the tune of 30,000, and it depends on the size and the length of the road, what the costing is. That was the one that was prioritised, and that's been done. You could have two or three roads that could be done at 30,000.
From Fintown to Burton Port, it's two roads, and from Burton Port to Garda Hark is two roads. Mm. So you're talking, Michael, with the amount of funding that came in, probably at the most seven roads.
Right, okay.
Can I ask a question just on that? Is it all done by your engineers, or is there horse trading at council level?
We receive a priority listing on a needs basis.
Can they be, the question directly then, can representations be made to bump a project up the list?
And the only way that one can be bumped up the list is that if there were specific needs on a particular road, say if there was an elderly person or somebody with spina bifida or somebody that was directly affected as a result of the road condition, somebody with back problems or buses going in or ambulances going in on a regular basis, and there was an absolute need. For instance, people who would be going to daycare centres, maybe a bus would refuse to go in. You can make a case then, and it's up to the council to accept.
Are you satisfied
with
that answer?
One of those roads would have been highlighted here on Highland Radio, which would have been in Critch Island. Mm. And all of us, you know, representations would have been made to all the councillors. And one of the issues there was that an ambulance couldn't get up, and people couldn't actually come out of their homes. So that would have been, you make representations. However, it never got to the top of the list.
Mm. Just one of the criteria, drag on yes, that Noreen. At the moment, is that I think there has to be at least two herd numbers, if you like, now for these applications. And as we all know too now, I mean, like, farming and things like that is on the decline as well. That's too in our area. So it's like they have to maybe try and relax the criteria for the LIS schemes.
Right, we'll be back with more after the break.
Your voice, your station.
Okay, we're in the company of Liam White, Councillor Marie-Therese Gallagher, Liam Mulligan, Noreen McGarvey, Michael McCrafferty and Seamus O'Donnell, all standing in the Glenties Municipal District, where six seats are available. There are 13 candidates in total. We'll speak to the other candidates in a next debate. A few people texting in, just to put it to bed once and for all. I agree with Michael, says one, we've a major problem with sitting councillors in the Glenties area not responding to people's phone calls and emails. They're being ignored. Now, obviously, you know, they may not even be speaking about used to, but used to are the sitting councillors. Is that an issue at all, do you think, in any way, shape or form?
Do you know what, Greg, and I would be I think everybody has to answer with honesty. Every day I get up out of my bed, I make mistakes. People phone me and I may not have been able to get back to every individual. That does happen, and anybody who sits around this table say it'll never happen to them or anybody else. You know, it is the way it is. Will you deliver for everybody? You will try your best. So sometimes you can't actually deliver what people want you to deliver, and people aren't happy with you. Mm-hmm. And that's the process that you're in. And, you know, as I say, if you go with honesty and you tell people that, but is there times where, you know, you have wake up in the morning, you have 79 emails and you scan through them? You know, that's what a councillor's phone is. It's 79 emails, some, you know, on a Monday, okay, or a Tuesday, like. So there will be mistakes made, but on a higher level than that, the majority of issues that are ever raised with me, I will be taking them to the council and I'll be trying to get them resolved.
A number of people raising the issue too of concerns they have about the expansion of wind power and its impact on tourism. Now, of course, you know, West Donegal, like the rest of the county, is beautiful and tourism is an important thing. Noreen, I'll start with you. Do you have concerns about the increase we're seeing right across the county, I suppose, in wind farms, wind power? And there's big question marks really about how sound they are for the environment in the whole, if you look at their establishment and their lifespan and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's the balance of everything too, Greg. I mean, we don't obviously want to see eyesores stuck up on top of big mountains that are clearly visible from the road and stuff like that. I know. Then we have to look at obviously the big issue now too of climate change and renewable energy and all that sort of stuff. Like, so it is a balancing act, all right, like.
Liam Mulligan of AIM too, does that something...
as someone who was personally responsible for wind power business, I have looked at the two sides of it. Yeah, I'm concerned that wind farms are sometimes put in inappropriate places. We have to try and figure it out.
Why is that? As someone who has a background in wind farms, I didn't know that, by the way. So
it's a lot. It's what's available to some extent.
Is it money? Is it about money?
Some extent it's money. Some extent it's what's available, what people will concede and let happen. Some of the wind farms, I think, are eyesores. Some of them are completely lost in the totality of the landscape.
How effective are wind farms in mitigating against climate change? Because we're concreting over peat and...
Very small pads here that are used, and the element it was for the really expensive ones are the offshore ones, and it's estimated that they have a 6 months payback in carbon. Now, we have other issues that might be of interest coming up, and I'll throw it out because just looked at a preliminary level. And that is how we cover the variability of wind. And the issue at the moment is we currently use open cycle gas turbines to cover the variability of wind, which affects the carbon effectiveness of wind. So we have a lot of technology work to do to get around that. And one of those might be more pump storage plants like Turlough Hill.
So if they are effectively ineffective, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but that's what it sounds like, why are they all over our county then?
They're not ineffective. They are the only solution we have at the moment. And we have to push other things along as well. Suddenly, should we have pumped storage sites in Donegal? I've been to pumped storage sites in Germany and elsewhere, which are almost invisible in the environment. So you'd say somewhere like Achlamore has a distance between, a height between lakes that is equivalent to Turlough Hill, would require far less civil engineering than the likes of Turlough Hill. These are the things that we have to look at as well.
Is wind energy and concerns about it coming up for you on the doorstep or over your term, Seamus?
Well, absolutely. And as you will know, Greg, I would have vehemently opposed the deregulation of wind energy in Donegal. And if we look at wind energy specifically, wind energy is neither reliable nor constant. It depends on the weather very much so. Everybody who pays an ESB bill is paying a percentage for those who are building their wind farms. I don't think that's fair. If it is a profitable business, the profits should cover it. We shouldn't have to pay for it. We also look at other technologies that aren't being looked at, and they're much less intrusive on the environment, and particularly on the scenic environment, such as wave technology, which has been done in other places. Liam has mentioned offshore wind turbines. Why don't we move there? Or even where rivers are, and we see the old mill houses that were in this country hundreds of years ago. I mean, they were there because they had a purpose. So there is power that can be generated from that. That will be much less intrusive on the environment. That would be much less intrusive on the scenery. We are championing ourselves as a tourism destination, and I don't know if wind turbines are the best thing for that.
Mary Therese Gallagher, what's your view?
Yeah, we would have, as a party, we would have vehemently tried to ensure that within the county development plan that there was restrictions put in place for the more development of wind turbines. And the reason that is that we have the most wind turbines, this county has the most wind turbines in the country. And within the planning process and
but do you think we should be benefiting more then? I mean, if we have more of it, should we not be benefiting from
it? I think there
that?
Was a flawed system when it was set up at the beginning. I think that if they had to go to state agencies and see how we would actually come together, look at renewable energy, look at the different parts of our county and country and how we can actually, I suppose, play our part. So I do think that we do need to look at hydro. I think that hydro is a way that is less intrusive. It would be a huge investment in the county. It would create a lot of jobs. And I think that that would be something that over a 10-year period could actually turn around.
Is this coming up in the Ardrigh area, Liam?
Not so much. Now, you learn a lot. Like it has come up, but not a huge amount. Now, I don't think any wind farm should be put where communities are completely opposed to them. I'm much more in favour of offshore wind. And as Liam mentioned, pump storage. I only recently learned about pump storage, and it looks like a fantastic development. I think we have the landscape and the scope to do something like that in Donegal, and it would be massively positive and create much more employment.
Do you have any concerns, Michael McClafferty?
No, I have no concerns. Other than I think we should be using this to our advantage. If people want to come here to set up wind farms in Donegal, obviously set them up in locations where they're not obstructing.
So towns. We should have more wind farms, you think?
Should have more wind farms, but I think as well it should be put to the wind farm people as well, to the companies. If you're going to come to our area and we're basically not objecting to you planning and so on to set up, you should contribute then to your local community or local area, let it be the hospice or the small towns if you wish. You know, like if I'm successful enough at one thing, I'd be going after an air ambulance for Donegal here.
Is that within the gift of the council to provide an air ambulance? Well, we've seen one established recently, but that's a private venture, isn't it?
Yes. Well, there's no reason why a second private venture couldn't arrive either, if it was go through the proper channels and so on and get the backing behind it. But it's like anything, unless you...
Is that what the Air Corps do, no? The Rescue 118?
They're not fully equipped. They're not equipped with medical stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to... My proposal would be an air ambulance complete with a trauma team.
Anyone else would back that? Laurie, what do you think?
Well, absolutely, and especially in light of the fires that we had and everything else there down our way, was just absolutely horrendous there over the Easter weekends and that. And again, it took us that long to get assistance. But definitely, if there was something based in the county here that could assist, a much more quicker response time would be terrific.
Okay, unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. The hour does not long be going. Does not. I think we have one more break before. Have to take before 12, don't we? No, we're okay for a bit. What about apathy on the doorstep? Is that anything that you are encountering? You know, and it's not about necessarily party politics, but, you know, we could see a really low turnout at this election, and it might hit people like you, Liam, harder than others, maybe, you know, because parties can organise maybe a turnout more than other. Is apathy amongst voters bigger than it was previously, or...?
Well... What I'm getting,
like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Why
what's the point? I do get there's a certain amount of apathy, but what I'm getting at the doors is people don't really care what party you come from. Where, you know, people want someone there to fight for their local issues
in their local backyard. Yeah. Okay,
that right. Doesn't mean
I would agree with that, Greg. And the situation is that, you know, we're all, whatever political party we're from, we represent the communities we're from first. I certainly do. I might have the Fianna Fáil banner, but I represent the community and the people that are in that area, and I feel that I'm doing quite a good job of that, and we'll see what happens.
This is very important, the local area. I'm speaking from someone who's coming in from outside the area, because our people in the local area are too taken up with job pressures and family pressures to be able to stand. But they're also concerned that the parties they vote for are parties that work along their traditions, their beliefs, And this is a big, the pro-life, the Eighth Amendment has actually come up as a major issue that people have decided it's been a break point with their parties. They break with Fine Gael, they break with Fianna Fáil, they break with Sinn Féin because of the level of nonsense that has been.
I mean, obviously you advocated, but I mean, has that, do you suspect you will lose votes, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, because of, you know, not opposing?
Well, I think if you're honest with the people on the doors that are asking you the question, and you answer it accordingly, that's all you can do. Mm. You know, that is all you can do. Like, for example, I know people are against Fine Gael. They're against, people have said to me they're not happy with me running for Fine Gael because of their policies and so on. But, like, as far as I'm concerned, as I've said to people, anybody who asked, when the referendum was there, no, the people decided.
In Donegal, they
in Donegal, like it. Donegal was highest vote against. I voted against it myself. Like, so all I can do is somebody asked me.
Sorry,
it
was the only vote against.
Yes,
it.
So
you're enabling it by being part of Fine Gael. You enable the process. You enable the process. The amount of internet truth and evasion that was in the campaign is the opening for the likes of Trump and Brexit to destroy our democracy.
Okay.
It's a danger to democracy.
It is a big issue in the doorsteps. It is something that is currently coming up. I'm strongly pro-life, have always been. But it's not even the vote that people are annoyed about. It's what happened after they voted. Mm-hmm. I mean, no...
Are you getting that, Mary Therese?
No pain care for fetuses. Yeah. It's just not right what happened. And it's against the moral standing of what this country stood for, I strongly believe. And
but you'd be, Liam, you'd be of the opinion that the regulation is actually too limited, would you?
No, not particularly. I'm not a huge... I don't know a huge amount about it. Being a man with no...
That's the problem, isn't it?
Up until this year, with no experience of pregnancy, okay. I wasn't in the best position. My wife's pregnant now at the minute. We're expecting a first.
Well, congratulations on that.
Congratulations.
What are you doing running for the council?
Tell me about it.
Okay, listen, Ben, well, we wish you...
A good point come up tonight as well in relation to...
Very briefly, please.
A person made the point that medicine wasn't created to be abused. Okay. That was their theory. Okay. You know.
Listen, all of you, thank you very, very much. We wish you all the very best of luck. We hope people do turn out one way or the other and use their right to vote. But Liam White, Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher, Liam Mulligan, Noreen McGarvey, Michael McClafferty, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, thank you all very much for coming in.